The Joy Unleashed show empowers and inspires women to reclaim their joy. We provide tools, resources, and connections to help you unlock your true potential through engaging conversations, expert insights, and transformative stories. We create a vibrant and inclusive community where women can break free from the limitations that hold them back. I'm Joyologist Colleen Greco, and it is my honor to be your host. Let's get right into the show. If you feel like you're stuck, if you feel like you don't quite know your purpose, or maybe you know it, but you just can't find the path toward it. If you're uncomfortable in your own skin and want to finally master self-love, then we need to talk. I'm Colleen Greco, and I'm your Joyologist. I help women just like you to reclaim the joy they feel is missing in their life through mindset coaching and nutrition coaching. Whether you have weight to lose or simply need to get your gut in check, I've got you. We'll work together to retire limiting beliefs. Those are the stories that are keeping you from your purpose. I need you to hear me. Those are the stories that we need to get rid of in order to get you on your path to your purpose. We will work together to get you that life you've always dreamed of. It would be my honor to connect with you. Reach out to me via Instagram at @ColleenGreco or email Colleen@ColleenGreco.com. Let's get you back to the show. Welcome back to Joy Unleashed. I'm Colleen Greco, your resident joyologist and humble host. And today I'm excited to welcome Laura Camilleri to the show.
Hi.
Well, I'm so excited for you to be here today. And hopefully you can just take a moment and introduce yourself to the viewers and tell them a little bit about who Laura is and what brings you joy.
I'm Laura Camilleri. I am a single mom of four. I am a content writer and a content marketer. Lots of things bring me joy, but also joy is like hard to find sometimes. I don't know. I feel like I've been like chasing it and it's just like running away from me and I have to like grab a hold of it and be really intentional. My kids are the number one thing that bring me joy. I love to hang out with them and play with them and watch them play sports and just watch them play together. Like their relationships are adorable and they make me really happy. And then I don't know what else brings me joy. Sometimes it's hard to figure that out. I am a Christian, and so God brings me joy and the way that he works in my life and seeing the blessings and the growth and the changes, that is definitely a huge part of joy. What was the other question? There's something else I missed.
I don't think so. I think you nailed it. And I think, you covered yourself really well that like, you know, when you give him all the praise, it'll transcend in your life. So I love that. Single mom of four. So would you call yourself busy?
Overscheduled?
No. How are we bucketizing that life?
We are treading water 100% of the time and bobbing beneath the water at all times. I'm really busy. My youngest is four. My oldest is 11. I've got three boys and a girl. And they are so fun and so busy and they love to do all the things. And when we have like a night at home and I'm like, oh yes, rest. They're like, where are we going today? I'm like,
we're not. But
yes, we're busy. We're very busy, but it's good. It's fun busy.
I love it. Well, to let you off the hook a little bit, because it sounds like you were putting yourself on the hook. Joy is really internal. And so it's, you know, the things that light you up inside. And so you might be chasing it because you just need to get a little quiet and tap into that inner light. So it would not surprise me that you feel like you're chasing it when you are a single mom of four little kids. I mean, under 11 is still really little. So I feel like it's maybe shelved for a little bit, but you can still find it. And, you know, when they're, you know, frolicking and being silly and,
yes,
or you're on the like soccer field or whatever it is, you know, those are the moments, but it does come back. I promise you that.
It does. And I believe that. And it's something that I think for a really long time, there was no space to even look for it. Like it was just survive, just make it through the day. Don't scream at the kids. Make sure you eat some food. You know, it was a lot of just survival mode and getting through the crisis. And now that things have calmed down, my kids are older. it definitely is easier to see, but I have to be really intentional. Like, I am a very task-oriented person, and because I have four children, I have a lot of tasks. And so it's very easy to get overwhelmed by all of those tasks and kind of get stuck in that mode of just go, 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 and not kind of, you know, stop to smell the roses. So looking for those things and really being intentional about that and trying to make sure I am showing gratitude and being thankful and changing my perspective and recognizing the good that's in front of me, even when things are hard, like that is definitely a huge part of me kind of grabbing hold of that joy.
And you did leave out your fifth child, which is you're an entrepreneur. And so that's maybe even more than one child's worth of like load. And so how are you finding balance? And I know the balance ebbs and flows, obviously. Yeah. And there are days where you're like, I'm pretty sure that doesn't exist. How are you, you know, kind of trying to keep those guardrails while you support your family? I mean, you have a lot of responsibility on your plate.
School is a huge way that I do that. My youngest is in his last year of preschool and he goes 5 days a week, but it's about 4 hours a day. And so it seems like a long time until, you know, you sit down to work and then suddenly my alarm's going off to remind me to go pick up my kid. Like, I just get in the group of things and I'm like, oh my gosh, the whole entire morning is gone. But trying to separate those spaces and say like, okay, the kids are at school. It's time to work now. The kids are home. There might still be work to get done, but there's also homework to get done and dinner to be made. And, you know, the jerseys have to be washed for the sports game and all that. And so there's a lot of giving myself grace, and I'm not great at that, but you know, in a perfect world, yeah, it would be 9 to 5. I was working and then I am done working and I'm at home. But the beauty of being an entrepreneur and doing what I do is that I get to be home when my kids get off the bus. They don't go to daycare. They don't, you know, get taken care of by somebody else in the afternoons. I am the one here getting them off the bus. And so at times it is hard when I'm trying to just finish up work and they're asking 1,000 questions about homework and dinner and hockey practice and all the things, but it is trying to walk through those times and recognize that there are people on the other side of it. It's not just the tasks. It's not just checking the box and getting the stuff done, but those are my kids that I get to hang out with and I get to raise and I get to spend time with and I get to help them with their homework and I get to drive them to, you know, the practices. And trying to remember that, like, again, a lot of it is perspective for me, trying to remember the big picture.
Without a doubt. And I think, you know, the irony is when you talk about you're not great at giving yourself grace, you know, I can only speak about working moms because that's who I am, but there is not a single working mom I know that is good at it, just to be clear. So it is this never-ending quest, and I've gotten a lot better at it, but now my kids are a little bit older, and so that sort of is also a little bit more organic when your time becomes a little bit more your own.
Right.
But I would imagine you're compartmentalizing your day. So you are doing like your heavy, you know, you're a content creator, and so, you know, you probably do a lot of content creation while your little one is at school. And that is like, you know, the blinders are on and you just get it done. And then you probably do another couple hours here and another couple hours there and get really good at, you know, packing your car full of all the things in case that becomes your office.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. I joke that I work like 12 hours a day on actual work when it's really probably like 7, but within a 12 hour span because I'm stopping and starting 1,000 times.
Yeah. I have also had that life, and I can remember back when I was in corporate that we were on a Zoom call and I had like a air card or whatever, like a Wi-Fi card for my laptop back in the day when we needed that. And having to like keep my laptop awake because it's on the passenger seat while I'm driving.
Yes.
Like trying to be on video. Like I'm still here. How I'm not dead 100 times already, I will never understand why I have been kept on this planet, because I have done the most insane things. When my kids were little, I actually used to hide the fact that I had kids because it wasn't a safe topic to talk about. Like that was a weakness.
Oh, that's crazy.
How awful is that to say, but that was a reality. And anybody that has, you know, so my oldest is now 20, and anyone that has a 20 or around there year old probably did the same thing. And it's sickening to me that that was the environment that I worked in and couldn't, you know, I couldn't show my weakness, even admitting that I was getting married because I'd have to like go on a honeymoon or maybe like leave a little early to go do some of the planning was almost like off limits. It was a topic that I just really couldn't talk about. Insane to me.
That is insane. And it's, you know, it's not that it's that way now, but I feel like, you know, I saw something that said, we expect moms to parent like they don't have a job, but we expect them to work like they don't have kids. And like,
yeah,
correct. I think it's getting better. And I think people are understanding like, hey, you're a working mom. You don't have, you know, unlimited hours. But I remember having a conversation with a client of mine and they were like, hey, we'd really like to bring you on full time. I was a contract writer. And I was like, listen, this is going to sound ridiculous, but I can't work 40 hours a week. And he laughed. And I was like, I understand that sounds insane, but I can't. Like, I do not have 40 hours a week to commit to a job.
Yeah.
And it was when my kids were a little bit smaller. But even still, like, I'm not sure I have the capability of working a straight 40 hour week, 9 to 5, Monday through Friday. Like, it's just not feasible. And I was talking to somebody recently who's wanting to move into kind of contract work. And she said, you know, yeah, I work 40 hours a week, but I'm not actually working 40 hours a week. Like, I'm at my job, but I'm maybe giving them, you know, 5 hours a day because there's just nothing else to do, or I get everything done really quickly. And I think kind of realizing that as a mom and being like, okay, you know, yes, I'm working all these hours for work and I'm doing all this stuff for the kids, but it's really just about trying to do whatever you can in that moment to do the best that you can do. And I think we don't give grace a lot. We don't give it to ourselves. We don't give it to other people. And having those expectations of, you know, parent like you don't have a job and work like you don't have kids, like that's just like setting us up for failure. I mean,
yeah,
it's just not good.
So I have a sister that is, well, I have three sisters, but the oldest is 13 years older than me. And I can remember that I think she would leave the office by like 4. She was an attorney, still is. Leave the office by like 4, go home, do the things, like have the dinner. She did all the cooking, or at least most of it. Put her kids to bed, get back in the car or on the bus or whatever it was, because they weren't far from Boston, and go back into work until midnight every single day. That's insanity to me. And you know, thinking about like her experience to my experience, yes, there was some progress. And then my experience to what life is like now, definitely more progress, but still this like unspoken thing. I was talking to somebody a couple of weeks ago about like single motherhood and how we just kind of like set aside the issues. Like, we don't celebrate single moms. We actually torture them. It was something to that effect. I'm not going to be eloquent with it because I have a terrible memory. I'll never remember what she actually said, but it was something to that effect that like, we torture them instead of celebrate them and say like, how can I help? Like, as a community gathering around you and saying like, I'll take Mondays so you don't have to cook on Monday. What's one day to someone like me? Nothing. But to you, it's like, oh, I can breathe. You know, if we did a little bit more of that, maybe you could give a few more hours or better quality time to your kids, whichever requires more attention.
Yeah. I think we're getting better. And, you know, I'm in Georgia, I'm in the South. Like, people here are more hospitable, I think, than in a lot of other places. My church, we actually have a single mom small group that I help co-lead now. But when I joined it, there were only a handful of women in it. And we've multiplied significantly over the last couple of years just because there's such a need for it. And, you know, not everybody is, you know, coming every single week or anything like that. But some people are like, hey, if y'all do a play date, can you just let me know? Like, I just would like to talk with other single moms who get it. You know, and we have people who, like, when I walked into this small group for the first time, I was in the middle of a separation. I was pregnant. I had just moved. Like, I was in a hot mess state. It was a disaster. And like, I walked in there and just felt all this love and like kind of shared my story and kind of the basics of it. And within minutes, one person was like, oh yeah, me too. Oh, I went through that too. Oh, I've been there. And I was like, wait, what? Like, you get this? Like, I thought I was the only one who walked through this specific situation, and other people got it. Like, they understood. And our church has loved on us well. Like, we get mom's nights out sometimes, and they'll feed our kids and they'll watch our kids and they'll pay for our dinner. And we've got some men's groups who want to serve, who will, hey, you've got, you know, trees that need to come down. Yeah, we got you. You know, you need something done at your house, like, let us know, we'll be there. And they love us well and they take care of us well. But I think you're right that the ins and outs, the day-to-day life stuff, it is not recognized, I think. And it's not that we, you know, want awards or want, you know, praise for it, because we're going to do it regardless. But for somebody to just show up and be like, hey, I made you dinner, like, that is like $1 million to me. Yeah. That is magical. I have one of my really good friends is a single mom also. And we joke that we co-parent together. We're both solo parents. So like, dads are not involved. And so we joke, but like, we really do kind of co-parent. Like, I pick her kid up from school. She takes my kid to church. Like, we kind of, you know, do all the things together. And there will be days where she's like, hey, I had extra time this weekend, I made you dinner. Or like, hey, I'm like, we're going to be at hockey practice, like, I'll bring us dinner. And it is, it's just those little things, but you don't think about those things until you're the one who needs them, right? You don't think, oh, you know what this single mom might really love? Like, it's when you're a single mom going, oh my gosh, I would really love for somebody to bring me dinner right now. You know,
I tried so much. I can't even tell you how much this like stirs me up right now. I tried in my neighborhood. If my neighbors are watching this episode, I'm talking about you. We would all go to like the summer camp and drop our kids off, and I would be behind them or they would be behind me. And I used to say, can't we just carpool? Like, prior for the notification being, I will acknowledge I have way too many windows open and I don't know where that is coming from. So we're just going to let it go and hope for the best. But they just used to, like, I don't know if it was too much to coordinate or like the kids maybe weren't that close and so they felt awkward, but I'm like, it is insanity that we're all rushing out the door to get the kids to wherever they need to be and then rushing back to do whatever it is we have to do and not taking advantage of each other's generosity. And I certainly have way more flexibility in the morning than I do in the afternoon. My life has always been that way. It doesn't matter who I was working for. And now I have my own business. And for some reason, I still don't feel like I have control over my afternoons. How amazing is that somebody just drops my kid off? I'm like, oh, amazing. We never got it together. And it always used to break my heart. Like, I'm up at 4 a.m. I'm more than happy to throw your kids in my like oversized car and just take them all to the same place.
Yeah.
And it breaks my heart. So I'm so glad to hear that like you have that, because that's the type of community I always wanted to build. And it, I don't know why things just didn't connect, and it's such a missed opportunity.
It is. And I think it's tricky, because I know, like, we joke too as single moms, like, we kind of have a chip on our shoulder. Like, I don't need help from anybody. I can do this myself. Correct. But like, should we do it ourselves or should we just accept the help? Like, you know, and it's one of those things where, do I need this to happen? No, not really. But would it be nice? Yeah, it'd be really nice. And so, well, trying to give that
badge or the trophy you're going to get when you have done it all and you've hit burnout, right? Yes. Like,
nobody wants that.
There is no reward for doing it all, by the way. No one gives you the credit. So sorry to interrupt, but like, that fires me up too. Like, you don't have to do it all yourself.
Right. And I think that because, you know, it's one of those things. I remember, like, when I first was getting divorced and, you know, my mom and my brother and my dad, all very kind, loving, well-meaning, hey, we're here for you. You let us know what you need. Like, we can do this together. I appreciated that, but I was like, cool. But at the end of the day, I'm the one at the house putting the kids to bed, and I'm the one waking them up for school and driving them, and I'm the one paying the bills, and I'm the one making the doctor's appointments. Like, it is a lonely place to be. Even with a village, it can still be lonely. But knowing that there are people who can and will help out without something in return. And I think that maybe that's the difference with, you know, single moms. Like, we know, like, yes, there will come a time where I can help you if you help me now, but like, I'm not doing it for that purpose, right? Mm-hmm. I'm doing it because I see the need and I feel the need in myself. And so if I can minimize your need, like, I'm here for that all day. And if you can help me out one day in return, great. If not, that's okay too. But I think that we are a unique group of people because we see that. And I think, you know, if you do have a more traditional family, like you might not see the need as much in others or even feel the need as much, but that doesn't make it less impactful.
Yeah, I totally agree. Well, one of the things that you included in the pre-show survey was, it's not funny, but
I was like, I
have no spare time, therefore no hobbies. And I was like, oh, that's so... but I understand that because even as a like traditional family, as you call it, right? Like my husband is in this house and I only have two kids. And then for some reason I came up with the brilliant idea to add dogs to the mix, like two dogs now too. But, and so it is like really chaotic, but I find myself often lacking hobbies or like, it'll be like a Saturday morning and I'm just like, well, this actually feels really good. Like it's quiet. No one's asking me for anything. Nothing needs to be picked up or cleaned or cooked or anything. Like maybe I just sit here. Like I can't even come up with something that would bring me joy to do.
Yes.
I'm decompressing, which is also important. So, you know, maybe for now, like your greatest hobby is just going to be rest.
And I think, I mean, you know, I say that, like, I really don't have hobbies. There are things I like to do, but I can't even call them hobbies because a hobby to me is something you do regularly. I'm like, oh, I did it twice this year. That's not a hobby.
That's like a treat.
It is. It is. But I also think that like, there are things like that. I almost feel like I need to make a list. Like here are things I like to do for when that rare Saturday morning comes and I'm like, there's nothing to do. What do? I want to make the most of it. And, you know, I want to enjoy it to the full extent, but like, I don't know what to do either. Like in the, and I do like sitting and just being quiet, but that also lends itself to now my kids are like, hey, come play with us. Hey, let's do this. Hey, can we go here? Hey, mom. And I'm like, there goes the silence. But if I'm busy or at least look busy, I might get more time to actually rest.
Yeah. So you jump up on Facebook and you're like, what is everybody else doing at 10 a.m. on a Saturday? Nothing. No soccer and it's cold out. Nope. Right. It's like,
and then an hour later, you're like, well, that was a waste of an hour. Cool.
Yeah. So how are you finding clients today? You know, again, you have to find the right client that fits into, you know, your, like I'm calling it a modularized day. I'm sure that is not my unique definition. I'm sure I stole that somewhere. But how are you finding clients? And you know, how can people get in touch with you? And what does your ideal client look like?
So I kind of have two realms of this, right? So the business side of me, I do content marketing, content writing, blogging, social media posts, any sort of written content, particularly targeting towards, you know, marketing, driving conversions, all that kind of stuff. That I'm finding people online. I've done, you know, some kind of like letters of introduction, like cold emails, which are kind of gross, but like they work. They've worked for 10 years. They continue to work. So that's one way. And then I'm part of my local chamber of commerce. And so I meet a lot of people that way. A lot of referrals and connections there and just kind of people I know who know what I do. I've gotten referrals from that. And then the other side of it, and this is more of like the passion project and the long-term goals, is I'm writing a book, about walking through a divorce as a Christian. The kind of the goal there is I wanted this resource when I was going through a divorce. I was like, cool, I really love God. I don't plan on running away from God. I still am clinging to God through this challenge, but like, I don't understand this. I don't know what the Bible says. I don't know what this means. And I don't know how to do this. Like, I don't know how to do it. And I couldn't find anything. I couldn't find a person. I couldn't find a resource, a website, a book, a podcast, anything. Now, some of those do exist now. And I'm like, well, this was around then and I just didn't find it. But my kind of goal with that is to create the resource that I wish I had. Mm-hmm. And so that's kind of my separate, right? Like end goal is eventually I want to do just that. I want to just be the author, the speaker, that person who's kind of pouring into that world. So that is like my Instagram. That is for that world. My business stuff is like a separate, like I've got a website and all that kind of stuff. There's my Instagram. There it is. So I post stuff on there. Some of it is serious stuff. Some of it is funny. I've been told it's funny. I try to be funny. I don't really think I am, but I don't know.
I feel like you've got like a little thread in there.
Yeah. So people tell me I'm funny sometimes. But I also, like, I'm not a big social media person, which is silly because I'm in content marketing, but I'm really trying. And so I'm trying to branch out and, you know, build an audience and all the fun things.
I love it. Well, first of all, let's make sure we mention, because this goes throughout the podcast network too. So at Laura Camilleri.
Yes.
Yes. Okay. Yes. I just want to say, like, Camilleri or something. I don't know what I want to say, but
it's okay.
Comes out wrong no matter what.
I get a lot of Laura. Yes, that's me.
Yeah, you know Laura. That
just don't even try.
No. Yes, you are funny. That's for sure. And I tell my kids I'm funny all the time, and they tell me I'm crazy. So
yeah, my kids don't think I'm funny.
No, they're not supposed to. They're not supposed to. But they know that you're home, and that's what matters.
That's true. They do.
I love it. Well, and I think your book idea and your speaking idea is really necessary. I mean, the people that need to connect with you need to have, like, that hub of a resource. Like, yeah. You will find your people, which I just think is amazing. And I think your story is amazing, and your ability to manage and balance it all. And I can imagine, like, your hair probably didn't look as gorgeous as it does now, right? It's probably, like, all disheveled, but like, you make it work, and that's, and mine usually looks like that too, just for the record. My kids are older, so
yeah,
we are, like, imperfectly making our way through this lifetime. And I think you're doing a tremendous job. And what type of advice would you give somebody that, you know, either you could take it both ways, somebody that's looking for a content marketer like you, or somebody that is maybe starting down that road of separation, and, like, how do they get started and how do they just make it through the day?
I think the biggest thing that helped me when I was in that season was reminding myself this isn't going to last forever. Like, the hurt, the fear, the uncertainty, the just not understanding, like, it's not going to last forever. Mm-hmm. And it felt like it was, right? Like, I got divorced in the middle of COVID. Like, it took forever. There was countless, I mean, paperwork and back and forth. And then there was a house to be sold, but then the house couldn't be sold. I kind of joked, this is kind of awful, but, like, I was more stressed about selling the house than it was about the actual divorce, because of how complicated it was in that market. And just, but even through that process, people kept telling me, like, it's not going to last forever. And I was like, no, it literally is. Like, I'm going to own the
house. I have the evidence.
Yes. Like, it felt like it was never going to end. But I think kind of that, and again, like, the perspective and the gratitude, right? Like, I can go back even in the hardest times and be like, wow, God really gave me peace. Like, when my life was absolutely upended, God came in like a tsunami and just washed peace over everything. It made no sense. Like, that peace that surpasses understanding, I felt that. And I have never felt it since or before that in that same capacity. But knowing that, like, okay, there's peace here, everything's going to be fine. And keeping that perspective, like, my kids are healthy. We have food on the table. We have a house to live in. Just those simple things that not everybody has that, right? Like, I know people who are struggling in such huge ways. And it's not to minimize, you know, my own struggles, but to see what other people have gone through or are going through, or to see how much worse my situation could be, even in those moments where I really felt like this is the worst possible thing that could have happened, like, I could still pick out those little glimmers of hope and those little things that reminded me that it was all going to be okay. And I think looking for those things, even on the absolute worst days, like, okay, God, I need something to be grateful for. What you got? Mm-hmm. You know, and, like, literally asking, like, hey, everything sucks. Pick something and make it better, please.
Give me a sign. Yeah. And I love it.
Inevitably, always something comes up. There's some song that comes on, or even, like, the sunshine, like, the sun comes out and it's magical. And you're like, oh my gosh, everything is going to be okay because the sun is still in the sky. Like, something that simple really can just push you on to the next day and remind you, like, it is not going to be this way forever. It's not necessarily going to go away. You know, the problems are not going to disappear, but it gets simpler. And it's, you get used to some of the chaos a little bit more and learn how to manage it effectively without feeling like you're going to lose your mind.
So the phrase that I anchored myself to was, trouble is your transportation. And it was so true. It's like, it takes you to a far better place. Just hang on. And some days you're like, I'm hanging on. Like, how about that sign? Anytime you're ready, right? And then other days it was like, boop, there's a sign. And it just, it's so true. So I'm so glad that you're on the far other side of that. I definitely feel like somebody should get you like even just like a small medal maybe for surviving, especially during COVID, knowing how disconnected and like unprepared people were to like do things electronically, which is really how your whole process had to happen, including divorce, right? Like, I just give you so much credit for that and so grateful for you on the show today.
Thank you for having me. It's been really great. And I just am so like from the beginning when I first like met you, like the concept of a joyologist, I was like, ooh, I need that in my life. Like that is just like, it's just so fascinating and it's so interesting. And I think everybody needs that. Like, I think everybody needs that reminder of like, hey, joy is there. Like it's accessible. It is yours. You just have to embrace it and be a little bit intentional when it's really hard to find it.
What a beautiful closing. The check is in the mail, girl. Thank you. And that was another episode of Joy Unleashed. Be sure to subscribe to my YouTube channel so you never miss an episode. Well, that was a great conversation with Laura and dovetails really well into today's joy tip of the day. And we talked a bit about grace. And what rhymes with grace? Space. How about forgiveness? I know that doesn't rhyme, but what? All of these things that we just deprive ourselves because we feel like we have to be perfect and all things to all people. And we forget about the most important person of all, us. Taking time to rest, making the time to feed yourself well, making the time to have connection with friends. All of it feels like a lot, but if you don't keep your cup full, you are going to hit burnout so quickly, and the rebound from that can be absolutely grueling. So grace, learn the very essence of grace and how to apply it in your everyday life, and you'll feel like you can accomplish all of this. Maybe not to, 100% of your satisfaction, but you will feel so fulfilled, I promise you.
Thank you for tuning in to Joy Unleashed. As always, it's my honor to be your host and joyologist, Colleen Greco. Follow me at The Colleen Greco on Instagram for daily motivation and inspiration. And don't forget to leave my show a review on Apple Podcasts. Until next time, sisters.